All right, you're listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR 855 AM. And we're very happy to be joined, second interview of the program, with Gaif Karim, who is a spokesperson for Muslim Votes Matter, who's joining our program today. So good morning, Gaif. All right, so good morning, Gaif. Can you hear us?
I can.
Yep, perfect. All right, we can hear you loud and clear now. So, to start off, Gaif, we introduced you as a spokesperson for Muslim Votes Matter, and which is a kind of new grassroots movement that's been kind of led by the Muslim community, and it's attempting to advance the kind of interests of your community in the upcoming federal elections. Can you tell us a bit about the background of why Muslim Votes Matter was formed?
Sure, happy to. It was formed in December of last year, in the aftermath of the whole Gaza situation. But in reality, became clear to a lot of people within our community was that there was a need for genuine political representation, and the political influence of the Muslim community was not where it needed to be. And we recognised that our community's voice was being overlooked, certainly in the context of what was happening in Palestine. But that really just brought to light a bit more of a historical and longer-term view that our voice had been overlooked in the political processes within Australia. And MVM was really established to empower our community, our voice, and to mobilise our community to be much more engaged politically, as a way of ensuring that our voice wouldn't be taken for granted, you know, in the future, and that our interests would be represented in the major policies within this country.
All right. So going into the next question, the Albanese Labor government, has been criticised for taking the Muslim community for granted. And can you tell us about some of the issues that concerns the Islamic community in this coming election, and is going to be part of the campaign that Muslim Votes Matter is going to be running?
Sure. Obviously, the main focus for us right now is the genocide that's unfolding in Palestine. It beggars belief that we are still sitting here 10 months into this and arguing why a genocide is wrong and why a government needs to do everything within its power to put pressure on the perpetrators of this and to bring it to an end. Morally and legally, this should have been the easiest thing for anybody to speak against, and yet we find ourselves in a situation where those of us who were speaking up against it are the ones, in fact, being demonised. And that brings into focus for us a whole notion around, well, why is that? And it links to issues around Islamophobia, it links to issues around the secretisation of our community, religious freedom, a whole range of things. But fundamentally, it highlights for us that the path that this country is on, in terms of the apparent values and principles in which policy is being made, are not ones which are consistent with our values. We don't want to be part of a country which is allowing a genocide to occur. I mean, what does that say inherently about Australia if we take that position? And so that then runs through almost every part of government. How do we trust a government with the education of our children who are willing to stand by and allow the complete destruction of the education system in Gaza and the death of over now 11,000 children? How do we trust the government with our health system when they have done nothing to stop the targeted assassination of health professionals and the complete destruction of the health system in Gaza? This is a matter of trust. How do we trust a government to do anything that is in the best interest of this country if they're willing to stand by and allow a genocide to take place and not do the minimum things that it can do to try and put pressure on the perpetrators to stop?
So I want to kind of ask a bit of a follow-up question, because you obviously gave a very good sort of response on the whole issue of Palestine. But I wanted to kind of have a bit of a follow-up question, I guess, on, your response to the kind of issue of Islamophobia, because I'm sure you are aware that, you know, quite right now, what's in Britain right now, there are some very disturbing outbreaks of Islamophobia. And of course, we obviously know there's that whole, the whole experience of the Muslim community post 9/11. And, there is, you know, that there's still the remnants of that sort of Islamophobia. So I want to hear your comments about, you know, the whole issue, I guess, of Islamophobia and, in terms of the context of the work that you're current, you're doing this coming federal election.
I mean, we can see it play out still day to day. I mean, the whole, and I euphemistically call it a debate in the last week or so around the visa situation with the refugees from Gaza is inherently risen from Islamophobia. I mean, the fact that we're even allowing conversation that positions these people as security threats who are fleeing from their, for their very lives from a situation which is of no fault of their own and which we have the ability to influence. The fact that we're allowing a public discussion to take place which centres them as a security threat is atrocious, but it's not new. For decades now, our community has been seen as either a problem to be solved or a voice that just needs to be silenced. We are not seen and we are not allowed to participate in the same ways other minority communities of this country are allowed to do. Every interaction we have with government is through a security perspective or, you know, euphemistically, this issue of social cohesion. Which is just another label to hide the fact that they see us as a security concern. You know, we've seen a huge rise in Islamophobia. I mean, we just need to look at what is now, I think, the third version of the Islamophobia in Australia report, which has shown a consistent rise in Islamophobic incidents well before the current situation in Palestine. This has been going on for a number of years and in an organisational sense, we know that culture is determined by leadership. And in a political and societal culture, it's exactly the same. The things our political leaders say and do absolutely impact the mood and the narrative on the ground. What is occurring in Britain would not have occurred if the political leadership hadn't for decades been stoking this notion of, you know, the brown community, the Muslim community being somehow different, other, not part of society. And we've seen this for decades, going well back to the Howard years. Nothing much has changed. And it's a fundamental part of why we feel we need to be much more engaged politically to present a different view of the Muslim community, but also to push back on these discussions and these debates, which the basis of which simply have no basis in truth or reality.
Yes, comrade. This is Rob Zocchi from Socialist Alliance here. I've heard the slogan, Muslim votes matter. And, well, of course they do. But I can just imagine someone like Pauline Hanson saying, oh, but don't white votes matter as well? Anyway, be that as it may, the ALP, I think, have absolutely every right to target the Muslim vote. It's the ALP's natural constituency, and they shouldn't be criticised for that. After all, the Liberals are certainly not going to be targeting the Muslim vote. It is hypocritical, though, of the ALP to continue to curry electoral favour from the Arabic vote while they are contributing to bombing the shit out of Arabic people in the Middle East. So I don't know if you've got anything to add to that, or are you just going to agree?
What I'll say is this isn't a problem unique to the Muslim community or the Arabic community. It's actually a fundamental problem with the way our system has now evolved. The real issue here is we have members of parliament who have a significant number of their local constituents. In some seats, we're talking 30, 35%. So one in three people are telling them, I have a concern about X, Y, Z, whatever that issue may be. Their role should be to take those concerns back into the parliament and speak on behalf of their constituents. That's not happening. What is happening is those people are taking their party line and coming back into community and saying, this is what the party's position is, you have to toe the line. That's not how our system is meant to operate. It's not how democracy is meant to operate. The system is skewed. When members of parliament are gagged and cannot stand up in the chamber that represents our views and say the things that represent the views of their constituents, there is something fundamentally wrong with the system. Really what we're saying is to all communities, it's time that we take the power back into the constituency. If a member of parliament is not doing and saying the things their constituents want, then they have to be held to account. That's fundamentally what this movement is about.
Yeah, that brings us into the kind of the next question. And just to let you know, we're sort of running a bit short on time, so we'll hopefully get through this question and then ask a concluding question where we'll get you the opportunity to talk about the launch. But I guess the kind of question is, I guess I want to hear a kind of quick response on, you know, how do you kind of respond to this attack from both the Labor Party and the Liberal Party, who have kind of attempted to whip up scaremongering about your new movement, in fact, kind of arguing against religious-based political organisations. Now, I think the hypocrisy of this, which I'm sure you agree with, is, I mean, religious-based political parties have actually been a part of Australian political life for more than a decade. Decades. And, you know, but suddenly there's this sort of hysteria when it comes from the Islamic community.
I'll answer in two parts. The first part is really simple. Scott Morrison. I mean, Scott Morrison was a very avowedly Christian prime minister, and he made no issues of it. He linked a lot of his thinking and his positions to his faith. Why is it okay for Scott Morrison, but it's not okay for someone of another faith to have a values position around policy which derives from their faith? That's part of the whole Islamophobia thing we're talking about. I'm convinced that we wouldn't be having this conversation if it was another faith group who was mobilising. I mean, we have Christian lobby groups, we have Jewish lobby groups, we have the Zionist lobby groups, we have lobby groups from every faith. Why is ours the one that is causing people concern? Either it's inherently racist, this whole discussion, or they're genuinely worried about what we're going to, the impact that we're going to have and upsetting the status quo. Religion is nothing more than values, and if you don't have values in politics, you shouldn't be there. It's as simple as that. I can't divorce my values from who I am. As a Muslim, no matter what I do, I bring my value system with me. That's all this is. And the whole debate of, you know, between the two major parties is just another case of dog whistling and pandering to the whole notion of if you divide the community, then you have a better chance of, you know, succeeding in your own position.
All right, so we'll make this the kind of concluding kind of question because we are running out of time, but we are aware that Muslim Votes Matter will be having a launch on September the 2nd in Nam, Melbourne. Can you tell us about the launch and how people can register for the event? And feel free to make any final comments as well.
Sure, thank you. So this is our national launch. So we are a national movement. We've got teams in Perth, Adelaide, Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. We launched first in Perth. Brisbane launches on the 31st of August. We're doing the national launch on the 1st. Sydney official launches in September. But really this is just a way for us to say to the whole community out there, well, we're here and this is what we stand for, and we invite you to come along and join in that movement. Because while we are mobilising the Muslim vote, the issues we're talking about are not faith-based. They're not issues just for the Muslim community. We've got no doubt that the majority of Australians oppose what is happening on the ground in Gaza and Palestine, oppose the fact that as a country we are silencing people who want to stand up against that, oppose the fact that we are part of an arms industry that is enabling these sort of stuff. These are not issues which are unique to us. We have lots of non-Muslim people who support us, and even members who are non-Muslims. So we'd invite anybody who wants to come along. You know, registration is required for, you know, catering purposes and things of that nature. Go on Instagram or Facebook and search Muslim Votes Matter, and you'll see on their links to the launch. We've got some great speakers who some doctors who've been on the ground in Gaza just to share some of, you know, their experiences. And we'll really give people an opportunity to really understand what Muslim Votes Matter is about. Look, the reality is we're a community. current system, like many Australians are, and all Muslim Voters Matter is about is educating and making our community aware about the way the system operates, what the issues are, and the fact that we do have the ability to participate much more proactively in our political processes, which is what the whole democratic process is meant to be about. You know, the establishment and the country should be happy that the community, our community, is actually now stepping up and taking a much more active role in as part of the civic institutions of this country. That's what we've been told for decades that we should be doing. Integrate more. Well, that's exactly what we're going to do. And, you know, we would encourage everybody to do something similar to what we're doing.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Gaith. I think this has been a fantastic interview, and thank you very much for being our program. And just to our listeners, we've probably got to wrap up our program very quickly. So, yeah, thank you very much, Gaith.
Pleasure. Thank you.